All right, live on BBS Internet Radio. Thank you all for being here, ladies, gentlemen, boys, girls, whoever. It is today Wednesday, July the 19th, 2017. My name is Gijs Minderhout, located in Paradise, California, and we are waiting for Wynn Free and Terry Brown, located in Sedona. We have a bunch of people on the phone line, as we always do this as a simulcast with a conference call. If you hear dings come in, then that means somebody else calls in.
All right,
it just happened. Hi, Don.
Hi, Heis. Hi, everybody.
Welcome to the call.
Thanks.
Thank you.
You don't play any music anymore?
I do, but then, like right now, we're on the hour. I can play music, but then if somebody comes in, I have to stop it again.
Sure.
I was playing music earlier.
Oh.
And All right. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say a name and location.
Hello, this is Terry from Dallas.
Good evening to you, Terry. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right. And somebody else joining. Welcome. Please say a name and location.
John from Las Vegas.
Good evening to you, John. Welcome.
Well, hi.
And then welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Chris in Memphis.
Good evening, Chris. Welcome.
Hi, guys. What's up?
Another beautiful day, my brother. Thank you for being here, Chris.
Yep.
All right. All brothers and sisters over here. That's awesome. I'm so glad to be part of this group.
How's the weather, Heis, out there?
The weather's hot. It's been a very hot summer so far. I welcome the next caller over here. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Susan in Michigan.
Hi, Susan. Good evening to the call.
Thank you, Heis.
Hi, Susan.
Hi.
Hi, Purdy.
Hi,
Purdy.
Hi.
All right. I welcome the next caller. Please say your name and location.
Susan in Virginia.
Hello, Susan. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right. And I welcome all those folks that are here listening through BBS Radio online. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. If you want to. Only if you want to.
Sedona.
Hello. Terry.
Terry.
Hi.
Hello, Terry. Good evening and welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here and for doing what you are doing for all of us here and for the rest of the world. It's something magnificent, Terry, and I'm so glad.
Yes, we appreciate you, Terry.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. We're having a thunderstorm here.
Ooh.
With flash flood warning.
Wow. About the next caller, thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
This is Suzanne in Columbus.
Hi, Suzanne. Welcome.
Thanks. Thanks, hi.
All right. Roger, question?
Hello, Roger. Good evening to you. Welcome.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Roger.
Hi.
And welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
Rainy Arizona, Raiden.
I know. Flashlight warning, Raiden. Watch out. Thank you for being here, man.
Watch out for the flood.
Okay.
Positive weather to you, Raiden.
Thank you.
All right. So, Terry, do you know if Vin is going to make it tonight?
Oh, yes.
He's all right.
Where he is.
All right, good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, hi. It's me. How are you?
Edna. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right, I'm well. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you.
All right. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Helen, Virginia.
Hi, Helen. Good evening. Welcome.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks for being here. Good to hear your voice.
Great. All right, the helicopter is up there. We'll be coming, sliding down the rope here shortly.
Down the chimney.
Man, in a thunderstorm. Hope it has the raincoat on. And I welcome all those folks that are listening in through BBS Radio Online, another episode of If You Have Questions, We Have Answers. And we'll see what's going to be brought up tonight. Yes, May, I need to ask your question still. Submit it. Good evening, welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Wynn.
Hello, Wynn in rainy Sedona. Welcome to the call.
I was waiting for your call.
Right.
Your panicked call saying, oh, my God, what a wind of himself.
So as soon as Terry is here, all that panic evaporates.
Oh, it did?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And Terry been here for a while.
You mean she's enough?
She does it.
Is that Terry? Nope. They don't need me anymore.
That's not what I'm saying.
All right.
Yeah, we need
you. We need you, and we appreciate your qualities, Ben. It is something magnificent what you are doing, and Terry, and I feel blessed to be part of this, and everybody over here.
Yes. Yes, me too. Ditto.
Thank you very much. You know what's hard? What's hard for me is I'm so used to trying to prove myself.
Mm-hmm.
That when now everyone believes that I'm real, we're real. And say, oh God, I don't know, but it does give a little breath of freedom because I can go places. I don't have to worry. I think people trust it, kind of, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But in any case, thank you all for being here, and. Let me see.
Can I mute the lines and start the recording, Wynn?
Give me just 1 second. God, is it raining? You hear that thunder in the background?
I didn't hear that, no.
Okay.
The second has passed.
Okay. I just want to see. I'm just checking for last-minute questions.
Can I add on verbally, or do I need to submit it per email?
You want to give me, you have a question?
Yes.
Go ahead.
It came up when I was talking to May before the call. If there is sex in heaven, like in physical bodies, has to be, are there also babies being born over there through us, and what happens with them?
I wouldn't want to answer that question, huh?
I got to start it.
Okay. All right. That's from May, correct, Thais?
Correct.
Thank you.
All right. So we have an April, we have a May, but we need a June.
Yes, we used to have a June.
So they,
my neighbor's name is June, and he will not come on the line.
It's a man, and his name is June?
Yes, he's from the Philippines.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
I see. His first name is June, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right, okay. I am...
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves. This conference is being recorded.
This is July 19th, 2017, Wynn and Terry in rainy Sedona. And welcome to our You've Got Questions, We've Got Answers. So thank you all who submitted questions. And, of course, for anyone's listening for the first time, we don't answer the call. We shouldn't say we've got questions, got answers. We should say they've got answers. Except since there's no they and we and they, we can use we to include them. Okay? So, Terry, let's see.
Yeah.
Are you unmuted? You're unmuted. Oh, you sound good. All right. All right. Let's get started. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this line. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. We invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us, and we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present? Now, are you there, Terry? Hello.
Whoops! I hear I'm channeling away. We greet you in the love light of the One Infinite Creator. We are delighted to be with you, and we impart a protective energy to the people of Earth who wish to experience it. If we ever say anything that does not resonate with you, then disregard it, as it does not apply to you at that time. We come directly to you. We do not come through the telephone lines or the computer. Do you have questions?
Yes. Yes, we do. I'm going to start out with May's question, because I have a question related to it. And she was talking, last week it came up that people do have sex on the other side. So the question is, do they have babies? Do they have DNA? How does that work?
Thank you. They do have DNA. And we take a moment and we look at the area. We are looking for instances of birth in heaven. It is more of an etheric realm. The vibrations are very, very high. And there are families in heaven. There are adopted children in heaven where it is deemed beneficial to a child to put them together with parents.
quick interruption on a question related to this. If there's children in heaven, when people die, their astral body is the same age as their body when they died. Is that correct?
It is not always true, but it is very generally the case, because that was what was grounded to the individual when they died.
And so, as they stay in the astral, they remain in the approximate same age until they take on another incarnation and it all starts over again? Is that accurate?
No, they generally choose the age that was very beneficial to them, or that they were very grounded in. So they may die at 88, but may then morph into 38 in the heavenly realm, where with the procedures, the beneficial remedies and things in heaven, they are brought to an age that they deem the best.
Is it more likely that they get younger? As well?
Yes.
Or but they can also get older as well.
It is sometimes that they can get older. Generally, if someone is old, they get younger.
And like if there's a baby, what happens there?
It is their soul, often with a baby, the light body is bigger than the baby body. And the light body is what determines their status, their manifestation in heaven.
Mm-hmm. So it would be unlikely for a baby to retain an astral form of a baby.
Yes.
How about in realms that are lower than heaven, where someone dies and they're just hanging out in a lonely space? Would a baby hang out as a baby form in that space?
In a lower space, yes. In the third density, yes.
And then they would incarnate in another body from their baby form?
If they reincarnated, they would reincarnate in the third density as a baby. If they went to heaven, then they may resume a light body appearance from an earlier incarnation and would be older.
Mm-hmm. So, but in the case of not going into the heaven realms and a baby dying or a young person dying, and I'm only trying to guess here how it works. There's two ideas. One idea is that somebody chooses their parents and when they're going to come in, and oftentimes from feeling the energy of past lifetimes. And the other one is that they don't choose their parents. So if you have a baby, can a baby just choose their parents? Or do they vibrationally just get drawn into the vortex of a family they had a connection with?
It is more complicated than that. In some cases, that is true. Baby is gestated in the other density in the human body, and then the spirit can then choose the mother of the family and then can move into the baby body. Sometimes the spirit is very large, having been, say, a male of 6 feet, and he is attempting to take over the baby body. It is a mismatch in size, and he needs to learn to adjust to the difference.
And we're talking about in the astral, in the lower astral, right?
Yes.
So the spirit, that means the light body of the baby?
Yes.
The high, not the high self of the baby, are they all?
They are carried together in the light body.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the light body can still make independent decisions from the astral body.
That, well, yes. Well, the light body is the collection of all bodies, the mental body, the astral body, the different bodies, and the higher self.
Okay. So the next question is, and this is something I spoke about a few days ago, but I don't believe I ever asked a question. And there are, the astral has a number of sub-densities to it, yes?
That is correct, yeah.
Yeah. In other words, the astral, in fact, all of the dimensions have, are subdivided. Probably they can be subdivided. For example, and some people talk, like the Rod group talks about 8 densities, okay? And other people talk about 13 densities. Some people say that the 8 densities relate to the 8 notes on a musical scale, and that the 13 densities represent the 8 notes plus the sharps and the flats. Is there any truth to that?
There is some truth to that, but we seek to know more about what you were thinking about the 8 densities, as they are different realms. Are you looking at them as part of all part of one realm?
Well, no. I'm saying, if we use the raw explanation for 8 densities, and then someone else talks about 13 densities, or like some, like Kimberly will say something that's from 12D, for example.
Yes.
Well, now, 12D. Is obviously a different number than 1 through 8. And so I make the assumption she's talking about the division of densities where there's sharps and flats, 8 and 5 is 13. And, but I'm not sure.
When I look at it as sharps and flats, the higher densities beyond 8 for the breakdowns of densities that the raw group included in the 8. So there's for the breakdowns, the top density being God, and it's like a point. It's like the all or nothing. That's the God realm. And it is in the God realm that creation is beginning. In the manifest, creation starts and then eventually ends up in a certain entity as a manifest reality.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, related to this, and this is my question, we probably have souls that are potentially could come into 3D from any density if they chose to.
That is correct.
So theoretically, a soul could come in from the eighth density and say, I'm going to take an incarnation in 3D. Yes?
That is correct.
Maybe it doesn't happen that often. Soul could come in from 7, 6, 5, 4, 3. And
there's a pretty big jump. So, generally, it is gradiently experienced.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have this theory that when two people are having sex in 3D, there's all different gradients of sexual connection. And some are very physical, lustful, lower connection, and others are very high. And I have a theory that when two people are having sex, they send out a signal or a ray or an energy into the realm that matches their sexual connection. So,
yes.
If and that signal that goes through the dimensions is seen by the souls, and this is my theory, is seen by the souls that want to take an incarnation. And in order to get a higher soul, or a more loving soul, or a more advanced soul, the sex has to be higher. And that's my
theory. It depends upon a whole lot of factors other than just the quality of the sex. It depends upon the proclivities of the people, whether the incoming being needs to learn something in the area, identifies with something,
mm-hmm.
and the parents needs to experience certain things based upon the experiences of the parents. Something that would intermesh them with the genetic line of the parents.
Mm-hmm. Okay. In general, I see that very loving parents usually, but not always, have loving children. And I would assume on some level, a loving soul or a loving entity on the other realm could identify loving parents
that
and say
correct.
that's who I want to come through.
That's who I want to experience. Yes.
Right, but it's not always the case because sometimes loving parents can have a nightmare of a child or vice versa. Unloving parents can have a beautiful child. So the souls are making their decisions on many, many different criteria.
That's correct.
Yeah. So there's nothing...
Go ahead.
Yeah. So there's no rule of thumb that says this is always true this way.
That is correct. It is an individual thing, as energies of individual, what one seeks to experience as individual. We do not see that heaven is a place so much for children to be born as for to develop and become aware of their past and to grow. And it is like a point of connection where they can connect the past to the future. And if a baby was going to take a body, he would more choose a body in the third density.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so much in the heaven realm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, next question. Earlier this week, I sent out a YouTube about the movie Back to the Future, which was in 1985, and it seemed to have many predictions relating to 9/11, which happened in 2001. I'm not sure, but
yes,
something like that, way in the future. And somebody asked, was that like just synchronicities of inexplicable things? Or to me, it looks like it had to be deliberate, and 9/11 had to be a long-term plan. But do you want to confirm that?
The plot to take down the Twin Towers was a long-term plot. It was tied in around 1994. There's bleed through from the present to the past, and from the past to the future, from the present to the future, there is bleed through. And some people see that as a vision. Bleed through does not need to come true. However, if somebody gets a vision, it does not need to come true. If the parameters are changed, then the outcome changes.
So was 9/11 was the predictions in that movie, was that just accidental bleed through, or was it a deliberate attempt, or not an attempt, a deliberate insertion to help bring it about by putting the idea in the collective?
It did help to bring it about. Like a reaffirmation of something, a potential possibility. But it wasn't a major thing, because when it gets to the point of bleed through, then it needs to be changed for the bleed through to stop.
Mm-hmm. Of course, most people that would have seen that movie in 1985 would never have, in their wildest mm-hmm. dreams, imagined that it was relating to something that could happen.
Right.
So, but it was planning something in the subconscious of people. It's like, it's kind of, if you can put these, this is my thought, if you can put images in people's mind, it starts to create an unconscious prayer. I shouldn't use the word prayer, but an unconscious thought collectively that gives it power to occur.
Energy is the beginning. of manifestation, and when you put the energy out, it is putting it there more.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Next question. This is from, let me see here, Morgan. Could you give Morgan some guidance? She's going through feeling quite a bit lost because her housemate and deep friend passed last week. And could you give her some guidance on how to restructure her life now?
Thank you. You need to, as we see, to take a look at the things that are stable in your life, at your goals, at your desires, and you don't need to make them into a cohesive whole yet. And do not be upset with yourself if they do not come together right away. It is a period of grieving. It is a period of reorientation and adjustment. So take your time and be patient with yourself and see what things in your life that you can tear down as for certain, and what things in your life are questions, and do not attempt to resolve it in one flash, and be patient and love yourself as you are loved, and know that in the long run, everything is all right.
Thank you. This is from Jim Blahat in Medford, New Jersey. The more I attempt to understand worship, the more I realize how little sense it makes. It seems counterintuitive for an infinite, creative, supreme being to desire being worshipped. It serves no purpose. For us here on Earth, I assume it was not desired or otherwise intended for us by any of the higher level benevolent beings, and certainly not by a central God. Therefore, I further assume it's a man-made phenomena intended to control through fear. Is this behavior common through the universe? You know, before I go to that, I think really I should ask, you know, stop right there. Is it a man-made concept? And let our sources comment on that before I go further. We do know that way back when I was writing the Creator God book, I asked the question to the Elohim when I was first trying to understand their nature, and I said, do you really like to be worshipped? And the answer was no, that they really are like our energy big brothers, and they can do things from their level that we can't do, but we can do things from our level that they can't do. And that they've explained many times how you can call on them and they add to your intent. They add to your creator abilities to make things happen here. And I can see very easily how calling on a higher power turns into worship and begging, please help me, God, you know, and all that stuff. But and then we've gone on in other calls to talk about how the Anunnaki took the position of being worshipped in gods, and that the whole idea of worship came in through the Anunnaki wanting to control the humans. And The Anunnaki were a long-term derivative, originally Elohim, but it spent millions or years longer in this realm and didn't really have the same intent as the celestial Elohim. After all that time, they were mixed up in competition and jealousy and all the things of all the many of the negative aspects of third dimension. So you want to comment on that before I go on to the next question?
There are many shades of attitudes. One of them that is very beneficial is prayer and asking for what you wish. Another thing that is very beneficial is gratitude, thankfulness. However, worship does not serve a real grounded purpose. It tends to blunt the intelligence, tends to make a person lazy. We'll just rely on what is said, or we will just rely on others. So worship is not the best use of one's time. One can have reverence for something, but it is not the same as worship.
Okay, his next question is, in the universe, on other planets, is the same idea of worship common?
There are so many different planets. It is a tendency in planets that are more less developed, less educated, less sophisticated, to have dogmatic worship in their agenda.
Mm-hmm. How about in the reptilian races?
There is unspoken follower that could amount to worship, but it is not even thought. There is no awareness of what they are doing.
Mm-hmm. As I understand it, there is a queen, and everyone has got the idea of worshiping the queen.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So the queen is the actual object of worship, not an invisible god form.
Yes.
Okay. Next question from Don Herman. I heard recently that people have an eighth chakra located about 2 feet above the head. If so, what is the significance of and purpose? Now, let me just insert something here. Just as we talked about 8 densities and 13 densities and whatever, there's some relationship between chakras and densities, and that the first 7 chakras approximately relate to the first 7 densities, and that when a chakra is opened and the human has developed a certain level of evolution, the chakra actually extends into the density that it's connected to. Otherwise, it's just open locally, like in a love relationship between 2 people. There can be a lot of heart chakra open, but it may not extend into the cosmos. And then the eighth chakra, you know, there's relating to DNA activation, there's 12 DNA strands. And the first seven relate to the chakras, and the next five relate to energies outside of the body. So let me put that idea out and get clarification on it, and then fit that into Don's question about the eighth chakra.
Thank you. It is a collection of energies above the head, and it is like a relay station. It can be from 2 to 5 feet or so above the head, and it helps draw in energy from the medians, the grid system of Earth, system for balance, to bring in the energies of higher dimensions, and it can be developed over time. And as it is developed, it tends to even move higher and get more, and get brighter and stronger.
Mm-hmm. And it is possible to have it, a higher chakra opening without a heart chakra opening, correct?
That is correct, yes. It is
okay.
Better, more fulfilling when all the chakras are opened and working together.
Mm-hmm. But if someone is service to self, they could have their higher chakras open and use that as a control mechanism rather than a way to express love.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That is correct.
Okay. Valerie in Livermore asks about left brain, right brain. Well, you know what? I think I asked this last week.
Yeah.
I think it was, you know, Don. Don asked the question.
Yes. The left side is to do with logic. The right side is to do with creativity, normally, in a brain.
Mm-hmm. Don understands, Don Herman, that some galaxies seem to be divided into two halves, and wondered if there was any correlation with the two halves of the galaxy and the two halves of the brain.
He looks at that as an oversimplification. There are male, there are female. There are negative and positive. There
mm-hmm.
is duality. It is a very broad subject.
Okay. Valerie in Livermore. It's very apparent that my psychic abilities are opening up, as I even heard some spirits say, "Are you Valerie?" Well, I would think that they would know if I was Valerie, so I was a bit confused. But after a few moments, I said, "Yes, it's me, Valerie," but I never heard anything again. Could you please tell me why a spirit would ask me if I am who I am, and who was it? If you can tell me that.
Thank you. We see it is a passing spirit that had some connection with the past and was attempting to orient to his or surroundings.
Was it a more lower astral discarnate entity that,
yes.
that was? Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And let me see here. Jim Lehut asked a question, interesting question. Life forms have an ability that we refer to as instinct.
Instinct is often a combination of past experience and knowledge and looking past the surroundings, environment of a being, and responding intuitively to stimuli that are beyond the senses.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's the difference between instinct and intuition?
Instinct can come from the genetic line, from the body, from past life experiences in the third density. Intuition isn't tied so much to those areas as it is broader and can be mystical in nature, where the connection between what is sensed and the surroundings is not apparent.
Mm-hmm. And animals seem to have instincts more developed than humans. Some people would say that.
Some people would say that there are perceptics in animals. Dogs can hear at a higher pitch, higher range that humans cannot hear. So animals, sometimes what is thought to be instinct is because of their higher perceptics in some of the paranormal range.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Some of it is based upon their past, which animals can also reincarnate to. Their training, their genetics also.
Okay. And Valerie asks, we've got to run on right brain, left brain. As a young child, she had a logical left brain on high. But then she met her friend who was more right brain creative. And I learned a lot, and I started creating a balance in the brain.
Good to balance the brain.
Yeah. Is this a reason to meet and greet others with the other hemisphere of the brain? With open arms to learn how to balance it all?
One can open up one's observation and see how an individual handles the world around them. Is it with creative or with a dog, hard logic? And as one becomes so more aware of the differences of and the potential and possibilities, one can incorporate those into one's life, making a more fuller life.
Mm-hmm. When you have a connection with somebody that helps you activate the part of your brain that was lesser activated, when you leave this realm, do you carry that activation with you into the future lives?
It is not for sure, but you have the experience, which then you don't carry it to the next life, can leave you open to more quickly develop it.
Thank you. And Jane asks, how long does it take for someone who has passed over to receive their younger body in the astral, or does this only happen in the heavenly realm?
As long as they stay in the astral, they tend to be the age that they left their body at. Well, in the heavenly realm, is where when they are worked with and when they are free to let go of a lot of the trauma and the experiences and the frequencies of the third density, they can change quickly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that is our last question for the day, and we are out of time. So I just thank everybody that submitted questions, and we are going to move on to Whole Planet Healing, and that I hope you'll move with us energetically, and we'll see you all next time. I'll unmute everybody.
All callers are unmuted.